right, this is Sunday morning, 4/16/23. We're going to have a teaching this morning called Time to Ambush the Enemy. With that, we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I can hear it. All right, starting with verse 1 there. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Do you ever feel like everything in the world is coming against you? Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedim. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, I want you to notice about Jehoshaphat. You're going to see a handful throughout the scriptures, the kings that did this. Most of them went with the world, in the ways of the world. You'll see if you read the kings, you'll see a whole lot of evil, that is evil in the eyes of the Lord. Then all of a sudden, you'll see one that walked after God. But if you notice that all throughout Scripture, even Hebrews, pretty well there's the remnant right there listed in Hebrews in the Old Testament. Just a smattering. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's just what the word really that Danny just brought forth was about. If you really want to praise his name, then act like you proclaim who he is and what kind of God he is. That's praising his name. That's what a confession is. You're professing what God says, instead of what you think or you or some expert says. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people, thy people Israel, gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? What's he doing? He's reminding God of what God has done and what he has been faithful to do and he continues to do. Isn't that not praise? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction that thou wilt hear and help. They're not going to say, God, why don't you do something? They're going to say, Lord, we know you're here to help. We already know you have provision, you have power, you have might, you have everything that we need. And we look to you and your faithfulness. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. Don't we sit in that place today? Everywhere you tread your foot, the government has stolen. The deep state, the elite, the devil bunch. O our God, wilt not thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes is upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Everybody's looking to the alliance. But you know what? They're looking in the wrong place. It ought to be the Lord our God that they're looking to deliver us. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." What did Jehoshaphat do? He placed it in God's hands. Instead of trying to do a bunch of junk, get half his people killed. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, and of the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And they, as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he, you know, so many don't, they throw off the word of the prophet. They just throw it off. "Well, there are a dime a dozen. I'm hearing this, here and there." They don't pay any attention. But right here, God said, "If you shall be established, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." What's the deal about the prophets? God doesn't do anything lest he reveal it first to his servants, the prophets. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about in general, in the body of Christ. All the true prophets are saying the same thing. We win. God's doing his thing. And when he had consulted with the people, which I will say this in defense of the White Hats, they do have some spiritual people that are advising them. I hope they're the right ones. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord said, "Ambushments!" Who did? They did? No, he did. "Ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. So they killed each other, turned on each other, killed each other. Sounded like a spirit of confusion came into the midst, didn't it? And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Well, I'm talking about, you concerned about, "Well, if we don't clean out this wickedness, it'll be back in 20 years. Oh, shut up. God does a thorough work. He doesn't leave anybody left behind that should be gone. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. There's my God. They didn't have to hoard. Everybody had so much they couldn't even carry it away. Gold, silver. Here's what ambushments means. Lie in wait. God said ambushments against the enemy. He was lying in wait for them. He was prepared to do the battle. His people didn't have to do any battle. All they did was just praise him, worship him. I'm going to give you a testimony here. I was reading in the Faith to Faith devotion, the Copelands. She tells of a time in one of her devotions where during healing school, she'd get so weak that she could not even close the service out. Right here. Anyway, she says that when she began to praise with her whole heart, the weakness would leave. How much do we put up with? A whole lot. A whole heap. Something ain't right. I better sit down, or I want you to listen to me, because this is where you all live, and myself included. And last few weeks, there's been some things that I've had to do, and that old garbage start coming toward me, and I said, no, I'm going to do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the more I did, it went away. What do we put up with? More than we need to. Now, I want you to hear everything I say this morning. Here is a list I wrote down, or a partial one, of mental lists that we go down to try to explain why we're feeling the way we are. Well, I'm not drinking enough water. I'm not eating clean enough and healthy enough. Okay. Well, it's my age. Do you realize we've been propagandized from the time we were born until this present day? Kill, steal, destroy. And on the list goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Till you're dead. That's when it stops, when you're dead, by listening to it. Limiting you and limiting you and limiting you and limiting you until you're in a box. Casket. All right. The Holy Spirit gave me this little psalm. It's called Fake News. That's false evidence appearing. Fake news, fake news, fake news. All the devil has is fake news. Good news, good news, good news. All God has is good news. You choose, you choose, you choose. It's up to you if you win or lose. So when that crapola comes, then you, fake news, fake news, fake news. This isn't hard. All right. Satan is a liar, and he will always do whatever is necessary to disqualify you and trip you up and try to steal what belongs to you. See, this is a walk of the Spirit. It is a walk by faith. One of the biggest revelations I ever heard was Brother Copeland talking about that pain was a thought. Doesn't that kind of qualify with all of this? If you give heed to that, you give in to that, or you just keep on doing what you've been doing, and you just keep doing it, and you're not being stopped. You're not going to stop, no matter how you feel, or what excuse might come to mind, something you need to do. All right, you know what? If all of that stuff, all the billions of dollars that goes into AIDS to help people feel better, the shelves are full of them, even at the grocery store. If they were working, we'd have people living longer, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you think? Well, it isn't. It's not made to make you better. It's made to be like the little woman with the issue of blood. You know, spit all she had and was no better but grew worse. Most of that garbage just mass symptoms. It does nothing to heal. So you can walk around in an unreal state, hopped up on your pills. Isn't that the way it is? People will take the mark of the beast or whatever they have to do to keep their medicine. They'll turn off the very program that will tell them how to live and not die because they don't want to get rid of their medicine. All right, we're going to look at a few other scriptures. This is Psalms 105:37. We looked at these, I think, Wednesday night or so back, or it might have been last Sunday. It's been quite a week. But God's grace is sufficient. I'm just glad I'm on this side of it. This is 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. These were slaves. These were slaves that probably had stripes on their backs, broken hands. I mean, we're talking abstract poverty. And they come out laden with silver and gold, and there wasn't any of them feeble. That means weak or sick. All right, go back. Psalms 8. What did Jehoshaphat and his bunch do? Psalms 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, which is praise in Matthew, I believe, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. That doesn't sound like broken down, feeble folk, does it? No. All right. Now I've read this story to you over and over and over, and we'll just read it again. The Lord knows. See, this word is what renews our mind. You coming here every week has nothing to do with your being renewed in the mind, but the word that you hear has everything to do with renewing your mind. He sent his word and healed us mentally as well as physically. Because there's where Satan's trap is, the weapon of our warfare. All right, 16. Acts. I'm sorry, did I not say Acts? Okay. Acts 16. I've read it so much I figured y'all probably knew where it was. He was already there. He knew where we were going because of the song we sang. Okay. Verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, was showing to us the way of salvation. See, even the demons believe and tremble. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. No, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Quite a deliverance, right? I say that I believe that we are all out of excuses. God's taking care of it all. It's us that refuse to use it. Kind of like having your insurance benefits and you don't use them. All right. It's ambush time. That's to lie in wait for him. That's what our praises will do. See, the Lord sets it up. But we have to loose him. We prepare a throne for him to sit upon. If we want him to be Lord of our life and Lord over our situations, then praise is going to have to be involved. Not complaining and griping. Not running around like Chicken Little trying to figure out how in the world we're going to take care of this. We can't. All right, Deuteronomy 34. Is this helping anybody today? Well, I just got started. Did I get, am I helping anybody today? I didn't hear anything.
Yes.
Let's get it on tape so people believe that are listening will say, yeah, they really got it. All right. Deuteronomy 34:7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was a physical old man, but he didn't die of old age. He got out of sorts with God in a certain place, and the Lord said, well, you're not going in because of that incident. So God took him on the top of the mountain where nobody could see and make it a shrine to him. And he just said, all right, let's go. That old body just fell away. In fact, I figure, where is it? I think it's in Hebrews where it talks about the body was laying there and the devil come to take the body and the angel said, the Lord rebuke you. You're not going to touch his body. It's 2 Peter? Yeah. You don't have to go there. It's all right. All right. Oh, now listen to this. Old age thinking gets people weak. We started getting hit with propaganda. Well, our whole lives, but they start telling you that, well, at 40, you know, what we'll tell you about when you turn 40. Having a renewed mind on the subject will help you with this. Gloria's book on living long and living strong is probably what caused her to come out of that trap that Satan tried to set for her in this weakness. I can is a powerful statement, but I can't is also a powerful statement. All right, Psalms 18. I'm going to have quite a few scriptures. That would be a good book to read. I've read it a couple of times. It's excellent. It talks about natural people in our day and age living to be 145 or beyond. So don't tell me it ain't possible. It's just that whenever you have propaganda that's flooding the earth like a overflowing toilet, then that infiltrates the minds of men. All right, 18:29. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. That's what I say when I get out there and I just, you know, things come. I think, no, by thee, this morning, those big old cases that have the glass doors. Well, they pushed it all the way back to the wall and I can't get in there to hook my lights up. There was a cord going from the back around. So this morning I got my two moving men and I walked that thing out and I put my extension cord in there and I walked the thing back with two moving men. By thee, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Don't tell me I can't do it. Don't tell me that, devil. I ain't listening because God says I can. He says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Feeding should never enter the picture. I used to remember Urkel. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. That squeaky voice. Yeah, it's nothing more than feelings. All right, Psalms 18. We're already there. Verses, really, the whole psalm is great. Right here, verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will lighten my darkness. Some of you need your lights, your candles lit. Your light's gone out. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. For by thee I've run through truth, and by my God I've leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Me making my feet like hinds' feet. I saw a video of someone, I don't even know who, it might have been Sherry Ray, and it shows these mountain goats on this steep cliff, and that ram did his foot, and you could see the dirt fall over. I mean, it's straight up. And it's all, you know, I'm just going, wow. They're just standing up there like, standing on the street corner. I remember seeing that when we went to Pikes Peak. You could see those goats up there walking on those rocks, and I mean steep. We're going, there they are, all up there. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. The steel lash of the deep state's not going to break my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. If you run out of road, will he just make some more? I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Where's the devil supposed to be? Under my feet. Under your feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them, small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people who I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. I put here prison. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and he showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. What's feelings got to do with it? Old Tina this morning, got to do with it. Nothing. Nothing. It's never about how you feel. Never. Why do you think that's where Satan hits you? Your mind, your will, your emotions. That's where the warfare is. No! Just say no. All right, Philippians chapter 4. Paul is talking here, now that I speak, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can. I remember Mama, that was one thing I remember she used to say. Well, you know, can't, can do anything, but can't never could do nothing. You say, but I can't. Can't never could. But can. All right, this is something that Joyce Meyer said. The Lord told her that she could be pitiful or powerful, but she couldn't be both. It's one camp or the other. Paul accomplished to the very end doing this and saying this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The can-do attitude will keep you on top. The can't attitude will keep you under. And that's just plain and simple. All right, here. Supply. He supplies. Philippians 4:19, right here. But my God shall supply all your need according. It didn't say all you want. It just says your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What does supply here mean? To make replete, to cram a net, level a hollow, to furnish or finish. Which view do you take? Like the glass is half empty or the glass is half full? This is the way the kingdom of God operates. This, when Jesus came, this is one of the first things he showed his people he was picking to be disciples. We're going to look at that. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass, verse 1, that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. There's no point, Jesus. We've been out all night. There ain't nothing there. We can't. But I'll do it anyway. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. What did Jesus say? It wouldn't surprise me if Jesus didn't say, all right, fishies, come on, get in, jump. Come on. That's dominion. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I think so. Two attitudes, you know. Nothing. We didn't get nothing. All right, let's keep going there. Verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, I like Luke because he was a physician and he's a man of detail. In the others, you won't see this. But full of leprosy meant he was completely white. That means he's dead. He's nearly dead. He's a dead man walking. Who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean immediately. The leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for testimony unto them. You know, the world says it's too late. Nothing we can do. God never says that. That's when he starts. When men say, well, we can't do anything. All right, he was totally white. All right, let's keep going. Verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered, he said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And see, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately rose up before them, and took up that whatever or whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And isn't that terrible? That's strange. Now, the man that couldn't walk for however long, that wasn't strange, but this other was strange. See, I think a lot of people, Satan has set ambushments against them, and they have this mindset, well, I'm nothing, I've sinned, I haven't done right, and all that, where they can't. So that's why Jesus said what he did, to try to release the people of that bondage that's been put on them by the devil, so they can believe. They just believe they were just too bad and God couldn't do nothing. Well, you know what? That's why he came and died. Because you were just too bad. So what he did, he took away all your bad. So now you can receive. All right? When you praise, you're essentially saying, God is right. I am healed. I am strong. I am supplied. All right. When you get in agreement with his benefits for you, then you're going to see them work for you. All right. When you get into the negative side of things, you're going to see that work for you. It just depends on whatever camp you decide you're going to reside in. You make a mental decision on everything. Yeah. Think young, act young. Think old, act old. Think well, be well. Old age is in your mind. Do you know that? So I read to you about Moses. His eye wasn't dim, nor his natural strength abated. That tells me all his bodily functions. I mean, after he got married again, you know, he had to be 100 anyway. We think way, way below what we have. Psalms 23:7. It's not 23:7. What is it, Danny? 27. As a man thinks in his heart. It's Proverbs, not, I'm sorry. That's my problem. I'm in the wrong book. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your heart here is your mind. It's the production center. Talk old, be old. Talk young, be young. There was somebody I heard say their grandfather, no, it was the guy that did Mad Magazine. He retired at 99, and he just passed away at 102. Retirement's of the devil. Sorry, it is. All right, praise switches gears on the devil and ambushes him. It just, talk about the boomerang, that's what happens, okay? How old would you act if you had no idea how old you were? And you'd never heard any propaganda. You'd be about your business just doing what you always did, probably. Fake news or good news? How come we don't say how young we are? It's always, how old are you? Yeah, you understand they've geared everything to get you to say something that's contrary to you? How old are you? Well, I'm 18 years young. Just think about it. It's a play on words. And you say it, how many times have you said it in your life? Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. All right. Satan's agenda, John 10:10. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it hasn't changed. Not at all. In fact, it's worse than ever. That's not a bad confession. That is the truth. All right. Psalms 34. I know we're doing a lot of back and forth, but that's okay. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In fact, this is a songs. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. We're about to see this. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Do you believe it? Your future is up to you. It's not up to God. It's not up to the devil either. It's up to you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. They had two mountains, the blessing and the cursing mountain. Choose you who you're going to serve. It's up to you. The choice is yours. A lot of people put that off on God. Well, he's put it in our lap to choose. He said we can have long life if we want it. But if you talk sickness, disease, and everything's bad going on all your life, I don't think you're going to make it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So by renewing your mind, you come into knowledge of what God has for you, and it's all good. Not anything detrimental at all. But if you don't ever renew your mind, you're like everybody else that's out there. They just plugged into the matrix. And they're dying, living and dying by the matrix. Vaccinated like cattle. Penned in. Taxes. And all these things. No different. All right. Go back to Luke. This is Luke 1. I guess our prayer should be, Lord, show me any phrases that I'm saying that's detrimental to my health and my wealth and everything good that you provided for me. Show me those phrases. Help me. We call them catchphrases. Help me to not say that anymore. All right, this is 11:11. Luke 1:11. This is Zechariah in the temple. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand or right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now listen to this. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, my wife is well stricken in years. I'm old, my wife is old, this ain't possible. That's like you having a word from the Lord to bless somebody and help them, and they sit there and say that crap right in your face. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. How many times have I heard, well, I don't believe that. Goes on all the time. People are so ingrained in the world and the system, they cannot get past their sheep pen to get into the green pastures and the Lord leading the way. I'm telling you, it's going on right now. It's sad. Sad but true. Okay, let's go over a little bit. 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. To me, she had a worse situation than Zechariah with an old wife and him an old man. Because here she was a little virgin, and if she was caught being with child, she could be stoned to death under the law. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind with what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Kind of the same greeting that Zechariah got. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overtake or overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And he did her a favor. He gave her a confirmation. She went to Elizabeth's house, and it was just like the angel told her. You know, sometimes it seems like it's an impossible situation to believe, but God will do what he said he would do if you'll believe. All right. Be it unto me according to your word, Lord. I can do anything. You know, I can do anything. That's what I mean. I can't do anything. We see it in these two situations. I don't want to be one of those that have to gag me just to get something done, because I become so negative, all right? It's time for you to lie in wait for the devil and set him up. Now, what did I tell you? How did the ambushments come? Jehoshaphat humbled himself and came before the Lord and told the Lord how great and mighty he was. Then he told him his situation. Then they sent the praisers out. And guess what? God set ambushments against the enemy. All right, Psalms 22. Hey, I get extra time today. We didn't do it Wednesday, so just remember that. If you need to stand up and let the kinks out, go right ahead. Psalms 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Ever say that? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. We are Israel. Spiritual Israel. Not circumcised in the flesh, but in the heart. All right. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Matthew. Chapter 19. Verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Mark 9:23 basically says the same thing. It's arranged just a little bit different. 9:23. And Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I want to look at, these are the Ephesians prayers, the Colossians prayer. These would be good things to speak every day. I do, like Monday through Friday. What it does is renew your mind. All right, this is Ephesians 1:16. I pray this prayer over every partner that I have. It says in 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I want to read 2:1-10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then chapter 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above the all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The last part is Colossians 1, verse 9-14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Isn't that what the inheritance is? All the good things he's done? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He considers we're already there. In whom, no ascension here, just translated. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All right. Let's go back to John. Or go to John. John chapter 4. Start with verse 1 there. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized none but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. There cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well, of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither hath come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saith, saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. If everything that has to do with God is about the Spirit. This is all about a spirit walk. This is not about a natural walk. Not at all. But we have been programmed to do natural things, to try to appease this and appease that. That's the propaganda part of it. All right? Satan is always about the flesh. In fact, the way they worship Satan is by sexual acts, perversion, and all of these horrible things, heinous things. See, walking in the Spirit is key. That's how you're going to keep your mind from being subject to the enemy. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Like one day he's in, the next day he's out. One day he's in, the next day he's out. All right, Galatians 5. Once we all get the revelation that the devil's doing all of this, then you won't be caught up in his scam. This I say then, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? That means you're like Jehoshaphat. You're going to be looking to God. And what God has to say instead of doing your own thing. If they had done what had gone out in the flesh, they'd have been slaughtered. And this was a fleshly people. They didn't have the walk of the Spirit at that time. But they knew. Jehoshaphat was a wise king. He knew where the power lay. And God had the answers. And he looked to God. And God came through for him. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Now I'm telling you, all these fleshly ways is lusting against the Spirit ways. It's like a battle going on. The Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. Contrary. See, the problem is, and especially in the church, they just put it all in one pot like a stew and just stir it. They don't work that way. It's like oil and water. It will not mix. It's not going to come together. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. Yeah. You can't make it any simpler than that. They just will not. Oil and water will never mix. The flesh and the Spirit will never mix. If you want to walk in the Spirit, then you're going to have to quit with the flesh. All right, blind spots. Lord spoke this to me, blind spots. We all know what a blind spot is. Let me just read you this. The kingdom way is the way of the Spirit. Since the fall, the curse is in the earth. It's still in the earth. Now get that. This curse is still in the earth. Through the new birth, we can claim redemption from the curse. Right? This is the curse of the law. Former Satanists, etc., has said you can't do enough to get pure food and water. You must claim redemption. They have messed with everything. There's nothing in this earth that you can do in your flesh to ensure you're better. It's not going to happen. They have touched everything. They've infiltrated everything. That's why it is so essential that you know how to pray over your food. Call your food clean. Through redemption, it will be clean. In fact, probably the organic stuff's worse because of the poisons and things. I'm telling you, I want you to get this. All right. I heard this lady, she was the one I told you, and I can't remember her name right now. She was the one that was chosen. She was from an elite family, and she was chosen to be some big high dog in the elite thing. And somewhere along the line, she came to know the Lord. She said she got saved at 3. Even through all her satanic training, God was with her. And but anyway, somebody was talking to her about food and things like that, and she said, "Oh, no, you better be praying." She said they put their finger in everything. So, hey, there's a reason he said if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. The reason he said, don't take a thought saying what I'm going to eat, drink, or wear. Because there's nothing you can do in your flesh that's going to save you. It's the walk of the Spirit that's going to save you, just like Jehoshaphat and his enemies. All right. Restoration, wholeness, and soundness will not come by the flesh, but by the Spirit. The world pushes the flesh, but the kingdom is by the Spirit. All right. How do you prevent these blind spots? Well, by taking no thought saying would help. Stay out of care and stay out of fear. The Lord gave Danny something similar to that. Your love walk will go longer than any organic diet or clean eating or exercise programs or any stuff that you spend thousands of dollars on all the time. That will get you over and quicker and preserve you better than anything. Because love never fails, right? I'm telling you what's killing this world, it's hate. All right, Romans 14, 17. Because that's why they've used hate to divide us by race, different things. Right here. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He wants us living a carefree life, not giving a thought about what we eat, drink, or wear, whatever we get. We just pray over it. We just go about our business. And with that said, that's it for that.